Our text for this morning is taken from Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And let me read for you Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 10. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. And here it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. This morning, we are privileged to have Reverend Dr. Mark Kim to preach on the topic, The People God Uses. Reverend Mark Kim, welcome.
Much greetings from Eastern region of Africa continent, and it is my joy, privilege, and also honor to share the word of God before my beloved and dearest teacher, Reverend Dr. Timothy To, and also my old good friend, Dr. Koo, and those who have been praying for the Lord's ministry, his vineyard in Africa region, especially Bible College of East Africa, Kenya and Tanzania, and give the sacrificial offerings for the ministry there. So it is my honor. And especially I would like to express my joy to be with you, the people who believe His word, perfect word, and same faith and same belief. This is my joy. Let us bow down and pray. Father, we really want you to give us this special moment that we are able to kneel down before your presence and thy word and open our eyes and heart, that we may hear thy voice through this passage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are many titles, such as, chairman of certain board, or the head of certain department, and even the president of certain country. It will be a very honorable title. In the church also, many leaders put honorable titles, such as, the pastor, reverend, and go up bishop, and now they put archbishop, and they call themselves apostles. They just go up and go up, and I believe the most honorable title will be he or she is the one God uses. I'm sure that is the most honorable title. And this morning I would like to share the word of God from Acts chapter 3, under the title, the people God uses. And many people preach, you know, the title, the man whom God uses, or the man God uses. English is not my native tongue, but, you know, these days, ladies are very serious. You know, one of my daughters is almost like a feminist. And if I said, the man God uses, and some may be offended, you know. As an English, we use the man as a representative of a human being, but now these days, some of feminists dislike it, so I'm sure that the people God uses, and nobody can be offended. So the title is appropriate about this message. And let's see this text. It's a well-known text, and Peter and John and come to the temple, and they saw a man, you know, beg something, and they saw him, and this is by faith they raise up him from that seat. And afterwards we can see that he shared the word of God, and chapter 4 verse 4 says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. God used them mighty way. Then we can find out the characteristics of the people God uses. The first thing we can think about is the people of purpose. And after he healed, you know, God healed through the hand of Peter and John, and you know, he can have such kind of, you know, so-called healing session. Because, you know, I'm sure that they believe now God is with us, and, you know, now so-called charismatic, they can start a session for, you know, healing session. But he did not do that. Verse 12. Because of the healing of the lame man, and many people gathered together to them, and he said, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? In other words, why did you look upon us? Why didn't you look upon God? They don't take the glory, which God should take it, because they are not the one. Why do you look upon us? And why don't you look upon God? So they glorify God. You know, Westminster Shorter Catechism says, what is the chief end of man? And the Confession says, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So glorifying God. They have the very clear purpose in their life. And the chance come, the people gathering together and look upon them, and then they said, why you look upon us? You have to look upon God. So glorifying God. 1 Corinthians, famous verse 10, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's what they did. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So they glorify God. They have the very clear purpose in their life, and why you exist. Why we are existing. Because we have to glorify God. None more than that, and not less than that. Every moment of life, we have to think about how do we glorify God. And they did. And after that, as I mentioned, the people gathered together, and they didn't have any healing session or something like that, but he started to preach the gospel. Peter started to preach the gospel all the way to up to end of the chapter, and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 5, when the moment of his conversion, and Jesus said, you know, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. God made them, Jesus made them, and called them as the fishers of men. And it's their task. They never forget their calling. And chapter 2, after the day of Pentecost, and also they preached the word. They preached the word. And this moment also, the healing of the lame man, and they preached the word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, the Bible says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Okay, Jesus died for us. And the Bible says, the reason is, you know, we should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We have to live for Jesus who died for us and then rose again. Very clear purpose here. Very clear. No other reason to be existing. You know, these days, it looks like people are ashamed to preach the gospel. But we are saved in order to preach the gospel, because we have to live for himself. Jesus came to the world to save the sinners. And then in order to do his work, and then there's to preach the gospel. My correspondence there on the bulletin, I saw that story of Masai Chief. When I met him, he had four wives, and now he had eight wives, and looks like he, you know, sometimes attend the church services, and some of his wives are very, you know, faithful to attend the service. There's no symptom to him to be changed. And but last year, God's word changed him. And he is a new creature, completely different person. You know, he just clearly cut, reject for the invitation for drinking and all other things, and he just refused it. And the word of God, we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says. No need to be ashamed. Someday, it doesn't seem, you know, something happened, but someday, if we faithfully preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then someday, the word of God will show the outcome. So, the people of purpose, may God use us. Why we are existing? You think about that. Glorifying God and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man of purpose. And then the secondly, this morning, Reverend Koo, I was wondering, you know, because as I mentioned, the English is not, you know, not my mother tongue, and wondering, and cannot be justified means or, the means cannot be justified ends. So I was wondering, but anyway, in the world, people say, okay, we have to do this by any means. You know, by any means, you know, I can do whatever means, I'll make it. It seems like all, any kind of means justified by the end. If end is good, and then, okay, fine, I'll do it by any means. But people got uses. They don't do that. We have two principles. So the second characteristics of people God uses is the people of principles. Principles. By any means, no, we don't have, you know, my dictionary, there's no word, such a word, by any means, no. I just follow the principles, and then the principle, God's principle, we have two principles. The word of God and prayer. The word of God and prayer. We have the purpose, right? Glorifying God and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ through the principles. the people of principles. The first principle, the Word of God. The Word of God is the final and the only authority of our faith and our practice. And don't discredit or despise the value of the Word of God. It is God's revelation and God inspired. And it inspired inerrant and infallible and preserved throughout the ages. Okay, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29. I heard that you are going to visit the Holy Land again, and surely, you know, when I visit the Holy Land the first time, I was wondering how come this land can be called a land which flows milk and honey. Very difficult to, you know, see any, you know, reason why this land has been called. Like many, you know, most of the present stony ground, and now the not the milk and honey, but the blood and tears. The bone blast and blood and tears. And we can have the, you know, the clear word of God, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 22. The Bible says, "So that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of the land and the sicknesses which the Lord has laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Edomah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all nations shall say, wherefore has the Lord done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heart of this great anger?" Then men shall say, okay, now this question we have, why the Lord done this kind of thing in this land? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God, their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. It is predicted, it is written over about 3,400 years ago, it is written. And also, if you go to a temple and then we can only see the, you know, the certain part of the southern wall, and we can see the huge stones there, it's because it's demolished. And then Western world, then people are crying, you know. Jewish people came and then cried there. And why this thing happened? Okay, let's turn again to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, famous verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will I forgive their sin and will hear their land. Now when the Solomon dedicated the temple to the Lord, and then the Lord said this, and then look at this verse 16. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Now he said that mine eyes cannot be there forever. Now we can see the, you know, destruction of the temple. Now after Solomon's temple destroyed, and then Zerubbabel built again, and then destroyed, and then Herod created this, and then destroyed again. And look at this. Verse 19. But if he turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the loose out of my land which I have given them, And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passed by it, so that he shall say, why has the Lord done them unto this land and unto this house? That's what our first feeling when we saw the temple. And verse 22, he shall be answered, because they forsook my Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore has he brought all this evil upon them. It is written probably 2,500 to 3,000 years ago. It is written. You may say, why he said it is written? No, it's not, he didn't say it was written, but yes, I said it is written. And this phrase, it is written, rendered from the Greek perfect tense, gegraptai. I believe this is like perfect tense, and then 65 times in New Testament. And what is the, you know, definition? Is the perfect tense is a kind of, you know, complete action with continuous result. Something completed, but the effect is continuous. That's the, you know, the meaning of perfect tense. And because God's word, and never say it was written, it is written. It means it was spoken and it was written in a long time ago, but still, in effect, means still God preserve it. We believe that past action has continuous results. Because God preserved. I'm sure that God will preserve His word. That's why we have it. We have it. But unfortunately, most of the Bible college and seminaries, they don't believe we have the perfect word of God. And my daughter, the firstborn, is now studying one seminary, the quite well-known seminary, famous seminary in America. And I tried to convince her to come to Feistam Bible College, but I failed, you know. It seems like, so anyway, I just leave her to go there, and then she wrote the letter, email recently, and quote, as part of her, you know, email, the quote, God's word is pure and perfect in every detail, as He is pure and perfect in every detail. Those who believe that God would allow corruption of His text are those who believe a different God. Their God does not care about the number of hairs on our head, but the God that we serve is a God whose sovereignty governs the smallest details of this complex universe. He is the God in whose hand our very breath is. Daniel 5:23. Agonizing our so-called textual criticism and all kind of things, and you know, Dr. Ku says she's in the den of lion. And I replied to her, as my old friend said, you are in the den of lion. And then I said, I'm telling now as your father, and then please survive. She believes God cannot allow the corruption to His text. I'm glad and happy. And God, He's the one who planted it to her heart. And I'm glad. We have the principle, accomplish God's purpose in our life through the word of God, and also through prayer we can get, you know, anything and everything we want in the will of God. Mark chapter 11:24, what things soever you desire, and when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And John 14:14, and if ye shall ask anything, and I'll do it. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, and but in everything by prayer and supplication. And many verses. And through prayer, okay, this statement, I hesitate to use this statement, but it's true. We can share, okay, through prayer, we can share some of God's attributes. Don't say he's quite heretic. Well, listen. Why? Okay, God is a God of omniscience. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, call unto me and I'll answer thee and, okay, show thee great and mighty things. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. But you pray, and the Spirit of God, God show to you the way and what you have to do. We can share. It's one of his attributes, you know, omniscience of God, and also omnipotent. Omnipotent. We are limited by our ability, but God is not. You know, when I was in seminary, my first daughter, who is now seminary in America, she asked me that, oh, Daddy, yes, she was very small, can you buy something for me? And yes, I will. And she asked me to buy a piano. Whoa. I'm a seminary student, and of course, no way to buy piano, but I bought, you know, the very small piano, you know, the toy. So like about $5, and I buy. Hey girl, only I am able to buy this small thing, but you ask God, and he can buy a big one, you know. Our ability is limited, isn't it? But God is not. Psalm 81, verse 10, the Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. You remember what I did. You know, 10 plagues, and after, you know, make you to cross the Red Sea, and afterwards, you know, give the water from the rock, and afterwards, you know, when you ask the meat, and I give. And every day, except the Sabbath, and he fed over 2 million people by manna. So every day he performed the miracle. So remember, you know, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Remember what kind of thing I have done. Then open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it. I'll fill it. We can share his attributes, omnipotent. And also omnipresence. We can share it. We are limited by our body. Okay, I'm here, and I cannot be there in Kenya. Nairobi, what happened, I don't know. Something happened, I cannot protect anything because I'm here. We are limited by our body. You already stay in this present and blessed land of Singapore, and, you know, you cannot be there in Kenya with me. But through prayer, if you pray, and God walk in their land, you know, the other land, like Africa, or, you know, it's a southeastern part of Asia, wherever. So we are limited by our body, but if we pray, then God can walk through your prayer. And through prayer we can glorify God. Some famous verse, chapter 50, verse 15 says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. King Hezekiah, we know him, and he was told by prophet Isaiah, okay, man, you prepare. This is time for you to go. And the Bible said, then he, the Hezekiah, turned his face to the world and prayed unto the Lord. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, I have heard thy prayer. Okay, Isaiah declared, okay, man, you prepare. This is time for you to go. And he prayed. So Isaiah was, you know, on the way. And the middle court, I don't know how big, you know, from where the king Hezekiah was, but I'm sure that the less than 15 minutes. Okay, He spent less than 15 minutes and earned 15 years. What do you think? What an investigation. Okay, spend 15 minutes and then earn more than, 15 years. You know, Ian Bounds, in his book, Weapon of Prayer, and he said this way, men who represent God and who stand here in his stead, men who are to build up his kingdom in this world, must be in an eminent sense men of prayer. Whatever else they may lack, they must be men of prayer. Okay, this way. Having everything else and lacking prayer, they must fail. And having prayer and lacking all else, they can succeed. It's valuable to read one more time. Okay, having everything else and lacking prayer, they must fail. Having prayer and lacking all else, and they can succeed. Ian Bounds, from his book, The Weapon of Prayer. So the people of God, Pagan uses, is the people of principle, a purpose, and they accomplish the purpose through the principle, the people of principle. And thirdly, okay, look at this, verse 1 again, our text this morning, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. It looks like they are very, very punctual. The ninth hour is like afternoon 3 o'clock. You know, one of the harder things in the mission field is because of different culture. And they don't care, you know, the time, you know, they don't care. So like, I don't want to humiliate them, but that's a fact. And okay, like a graduation and, you know, class, all like, it never be punctual. I try to make it and, you know, graduation, nobody come, but still we start on time. The service, nobody come, they start on time. But eventually, they come. You know, like, if somebody drive, a lady drove out, it's a Middle East, I heard that, read from the book, and lady drove down the street, and then something fallen because of the construction, and his car, her car was damaged. And she said, hey, what is this? And they said, okay, you come tomorrow. What is tomorrow? And then she come, you know, the next day, and they said, oh, you come with your husband, because they're like a male-dominated society. And third day, she come with her husband, and they said, oh, this is God's will. And, oh, okay, then I heard it, and it's like almost the same, you know. Like, you know, casual. It means that tomorrow, and always like casual. It's quite tough. And it's God's will. And they said, Hakuna Matata, no problem. And there's a problem. When we say, oh, this is a problem, oh, no problem. Well, what's the problem? That is real problem. And try to make puncture, and yeah, everything I start on time, one thing I couldn't make it, the wedding. One occasion, I wait, sit here, the 2 hours, whatever appear, you know, the bride and bridegroom, and I said to the people, those who came there, and I said, hey, look, we finish all thing, and when they come and they sign, and, you know, I just declare everything, and then they just sign and take the book, and, you know, I certificate and walk away. But it doesn't work. So, I was quite, you know, tough. And one of the local pastor is very wise man, and he loved. I explained that this one I cannot change it. He loved, and I have a way to get out from it. And what is that? He said, "Did you get any money?" So no, I don't. Officiating the wedding, why I get the money? So, yeah, this I don't also. I don't get the money, but you know, you ask them to deposit the money. Oh, deposit for what? Okay, about 5,000 shillings is about 90 US dollars, probably something like 170 or Singapore dollars. And then, you know, 1 hour late, deduct, you know, 2,000. Oh, that's, it seems it works. So, last month I officiated one wedding in Maasai land, and the Maasai, you know, man came and, oh, Pastor, can you officiate my wedding? Yes, I'll do. And he said, do you charge anything? He said, no, no. I only give God's blessing. Oh, that's good, he said. But you have to deposit 5,000. For what? So, if you late 1 hour, I'll deduct 2,000. 2 hours, 4,000, and then more than that, everything gone. But I don't take the money, I'll bring to the church. So don't worry about that. I don't take it. I'll bring to the Lord, and then I'm sure that the Lord will anyway bless you. And he said, okay, no problem. And, you know, amazingly, I could start on time. Wow, this punctuality. You know, we have purpose. We have principles. And we should be the people of punctuality. It's very important. And I'll say one more thing. Okay. If you set the purpose, now I know my purpose of life, and it should be done by principle, and it should be punctual. Then, whoa, this is now tough. I have purpose, and then I have principle, and I have, you know, I have to be very punctual. Don't block my way. There are two groups of people in the world. One is called like task-oriented people, and the people-oriented person. People-oriented person. The two groups. We should be the people-oriented. In other words, you know, because of being a wooden-hearted principle, I mean, you know, beware of being a wooden-hearted principle. No, my principle this one, no. Because of punctuality, no, I have to be punctual. We cannot go that way. So the last characteristics which I would like to share is the people God uses are the people of passion. Passion. The flexibility. One of the most important characteristics of the people God uses of flexibility. So people of passion, you know, we cannot, passion, we cannot sacrifice because of punctuality of principles. And Jesus' ministry was the ministry of compassion. In Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. And also, Matthew 14:14, the same thing. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. And Matthew 15:32, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. So the compassion. And Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophet, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under wings, and ye would not. His, you know, mission was carried by the compassion. And we should be. Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, and Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep them that weep. And Romans 9:2-3, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Even myself be accursed because of my kinsmen of the flesh. What is the most honorable title, do you think? Yes, if you can be elected as a president of this country, it will be very honorable. Or, you know, something in the church, you can be the archbishop of a certain denomination, it may be very honorable. But the most honorable title is the one God uses. You know, somebody introduces you and, oh, this is the one God uses. I'm sure that that is the most honorable title for every one of us. And Peter and John, through their marvelous work, and we trace the four characteristics that people God uses. And first one, be a man and woman a purpose. What is your purpose? Now don't seek your own vainglory, but try to find out how do we too glorify God, and how do we preach the gospel, share the gospel. That should be our purpose. And, you know, the man or woman God uses are, the man and woman are principle. We accomplish our purpose through the word and prayer. And be punctual. We should be the people of punctuality. And all these kind of things cannot sacrifice our passion. We have to have the heart. You know, years ago, because of the tsunami, and I believe almost more than 800,000 were killed. Many were involved for the, you know, something like try to help them after disasters. But amazingly, not many of the Christians wept because of, well, most of them are unbelievers. They are lost. We may see the physical need of them, but we may not see the spiritual need of them. It's more serious. And 1 year ahead of the disaster I visited, I mean, 4 months probably ahead of the time, and I visited Palembang and some other island in Indonesia, and you know, afterwards I heard the news, and then, my goodness, I may win some souls. Be a man and woman of purpose, and man and woman of principles, and man and woman of punctuality, and be a man and woman of passion, which Christ has. Let's pray. I remember the word, you know, George Whitefield said, I'd rather burn out than rust out. He would rather burn out from overworking than rust out from laziness. Oh, Father, this moment we kneel down before your presence. Yes, we rather want to burn out than rust out because of our laziness. Many souls are dying all over the world. And we have to realize again what is the purpose of our life. We should glorify you, and we should preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have to carry on the task through the principles, the word, your word, infallible, inerrant, and preserved word, and prayer. Lord, make us to be punctual. A time to read the Bible, time to pray, whatever we do, Lord, make us to be punctual, and then all these kind of things. Children are sacrificed, the passion which your only Son, only begotten Son, who showed us when He served the people on this earth. And we can be used by you, and then people may introduce as a person God uses. Lord, if we are called that way, Lord, it will be honored. Not some other titles on this earth, but the title, the man God uses, or a woman God uses, then, Lord, will be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.